From Buffalo, New York, it's Election 14, the race for governor. Sponsored by the Buffalo News and WNED, WBFO. This debate features candidates Rob Astorino, Andrew Cuomo, Howie Hawkins, and Michael McDermott.
Support for Election 14, the race for governor, comes from Verizon.
With Verizon's technology and networks, we provide answers and communication solutions that will help create a better tomorrow for our communities. We are proud to support this broadcast of the 2014 gubernatorial debate.
Now from the WNED WBFO studios, here's debate moderator, WBFO News Director Brian Meyer.
Thank you, and welcome to all of you watching and listening across New York State. Over the next hour, we'll learn more about four candidates for governor who are seeking your vote on Election Day. Let's meet the candidates. Republican Rob Astorino is serving his second term as Westchester County Executive. He's also running on the conservative and Stop Common Core lines. Democrat Andrew Cuomo became governor in 2011. He's also running on the independents, working families, and women's equality lines. Green Party candidate Howie Hawkins ran for governor on the same line in 2010. He's a Syracuse resident and a longtime activist. Libertarian Party candidate Michael McDermott is a former real estate broker and developer. He ran for Congress in 2012. Gentlemen, welcome. The candidates will be taking questions from our panelists, whom we'll meet in a moment. They will also answer video questions submitted from voters. Now, here are the rules for tonight's debate. Each candidate will have 1 minute to make an opening statement. Questions from our panelists will alternate, and each candidate will have 1 minute to answer. A bell will ring when the time is expired. Follow-up questions will be limited given time constraints. If a panelist has a follow-up, each candidate will have 30 seconds to answer. Video questions submitted by voters will be directed to all candidates, who will each have 30 seconds to respond. At the end of the question and answer period, each candidate will have 1 minute to make a closing statement. During the debate, candidates are not permitted to use any prepared notes, visual aids, or props. We ask the candidates to stay on topic and not interrupt one another. Time limits will be enforced. The League of Women Voters of Buffalo Niagara will serve as timekeepers. The order of speakers was determined by a random draw. Mr. Cuomo, you have 1 minute for your opening statement.
Thank you. Thank you. And first, let me begin by thanking tonight's sponsors and the panelists. It's my pleasure to be back in Buffalo once again. Applause to all those people in Buffalo who have done such a great job in turning the city around. The Buffalo Bills are here to stay, and they're winning. So I say go Bills and go Buffalo. It's been my honor to serve as governor of the state of New York for the past 4 years. And I think when you remember where we were and you look at where we are now, there's no doubt but that the state is better off and better in general. When we started 4 years ago, the government wasn't even working. We now have the lowest taxes in over 50 years. We have more jobs than we've ever had before, and we have Democrats and Republicans working together again. And the state is better because it's stronger, it's safer, and it's more progressive. One of the options in this campaign is an ultra-conservative philosophy that disrespects women, minorities, and immigrants, and I reject that. And I believe we should—we have more work to do, but the arrows are pointed in the right direction, and let's keep working together as one New York.
Mr. Hawkins, you have 1 minute for your opening statement.
Thank you. I've been an organizer in movements for peace, justice, labor, and environment since the 1960s. I attended Dartmouth College and served in the Marine Corps. I've had working-class jobs on construction sites and on loading docks. I've started successful small businesses, including a workers' co-op that built solar, wind, and energy efficiency upgrades for homes and businesses. I'm running for governor to go to work for the 99% of us, the working-class and middle-class people who are overtaxed, underserved, and underpaid under a government that's been bought by the richest 1% with their big campaign contributions. I'm calling for a Green New Deal for New York. It would guarantee everybody the right to a useful job, a living wage, affordable health care, affordable housing, and a good education. And the centerpiece of the Green New Deal is to fight climate change by banning fracking and moving to 100% clean energy over the next 15 years. Real solutions can't wait. It's time for real change.
Mr. Astorino, you have 1 minute for your opening statement.
Thank you very much. I'm running for governor because New York is losing, and we're losing badly. We have the highest taxes in America, the worst business climate. We have the worst economic outlook. Our economic recovery is an anemic 0.7%. We've got cities that are losing. Poverty here in Buffalo is off the charts, especially with children. And we can't afford another four more years and another 400,000 people leaving this state under this gentleman's term. I'm running because we need to cut taxes in a real way. The Wall Street Journal said that tax cut will make us the most competitive in the Northeast, and it'll get this economy moving again so people can go back to work. We also need term limits. One way we need term limits is to clean up the corruption of the Andrew Cuomo administration. We also need to get rid of Cuomo's Common Core and replace it with better standards produced right here in New York by our own teachers. And we also need to get rid of the Unsafe Act. So I'm running because right now the privileged and the well-connected, they're doing very well under Andrew Cuomo's term. But the rest of us, not so much. That's who I'm representing.
Mr. McDermott, you have 1 minute for your opening statement.
Thank you. My name is Michael McDermott. I'm the Libertarian candidate for governor. And I want to thank everybody that sponsored this debate. I especially want to give a special thanks to Governor Cuomo for insisting that I be here. Not for him, I probably would not be here. Thank you, Governor. I'll tell you that I'm here to ask you to listen closely to what is said at this debate. Don't listen as Democrats or Republicans. Just listen as fellow New Yorkers, because we've got to get to a point where we can empower New Yorkers to take their lives back, to vote carefully and listen carefully. Please, listen to everything that's said. And the libertarian philosophy that we espouse is one of individual liberty and individual freedom and strong adherence to the Constitution. And that's what we're here to do. So thank you very much, and I look forward to the debate.
The first question comes from Bob McCarthy, political reporter for the Buffalo News, and it's for Mr. McDermott.
Good evening, Mr. McDermott. Let's get right to it with a question on economic development. The two major candidates have outlined far different approaches to fostering economic development in New York. Mr. Cuomo has established targeted programs like the Buffalo Billion and Startup New York, in which he claims successes, while Mr. Astorino proposes that lower taxes and a less stringent regulatory climate will result in even more success. What's your take on that? And we'll look forward to what the other candidates have to say on that, too.
Mr. McDermott, you have 1 minute to respond.
I think that's a really very good question. I've had some experience with Startup New York, and I'm not in favor of it. I think the idea of bringing companies in and having a 10-year tax rebate sounds good to me. But I've tried with some companies that I've worked with, and it's very difficult to deal with. It doesn't include a lot that it needs to include. So I'm not a big fan of it, although I've seen a lot of commercials lately. I think they spent $200 million on commercials, and you know, it sounds good, but it's not really working that well. I like the economic development idea, but I think that we should do this as people of the state of New York, not as the government and the state representatives that are telling you what they're going to do, how they're going to do it, and then not fulfilling those promises.
Mr. Astorino, 1 minute.
Well, let's be honest. Here's what's happening in New York right now. We basically have massive corporate welfare. $21 billion in tax credits to big corporations and billionaires. That's what's happening right now. And here's the scheme, because Andrew Cuomo benefits from this tremendously. It's how he's built his $45 million war chest, which he uses to attack me in negative and false advertising all over TV. So the governor gives out tax credits and a wink and a nod, and in return, he gets very big checks from corporations and billionaires for his big war chest. That's how it works. That's not economic development. That's bad economic policy. What we need in this state are not gimmicks. We don't need gimmicks. We need actually reducing taxes to make us the most competitive in the Northeast. That's what we'll do. We know what the problems are. The problems are in Albany right now. We've got overregulation, massive taxes, driving our middle class, our small businesses, and our big corporations out of this state. And the people are following those jobs for better states. We got to put that to an end and change the actual climate in the state. Then we'll do well.
Mr. Cuomo, you have 1 minute.
Rhetoric is fine. Facts are better. Our taxes, the taxes for the middle class in this state, are the lowest they've been since 1953. Corporate taxes are back to the level of 1968. We just won an award where, from a business point of view, we've gone from number 25 to number 4 from a conservative organization that studies taxes. So we've brought down taxes, and that has brought up jobs. 511,000 new jobs. This state has more jobs than it has ever had in the history of the state of New York. And in terms of credibility of my friend Mr. Astorino when it comes to taxes, when he ran for Westchester County Executive, he promised a 20% tax cut. He guaranteed there would never be a downgrade, and he promised they would not be the highest in taxes. You know what you got after 5 years? They are the number one tax county in the United States of America. Property taxes went up 8%, and the county was downgraded.
Mr. Hawkins, you have 1 minute.
Trickle-down corporate welfare doesn't trickle down to working people and small businesses. What we need is a bottom-up, full-employment, wage-led economic development policy that raises demand, and that gives real incentive to business to invest and hire. And I think the best way we can do that is to commit to 100% clean energy over the next 15 years. We have a peer-reviewed study from researchers at Cornell and Stanford say if we do that, we'll create 4.5 million jobs, good middle-income jobs in construction and manufacturing, and it would cut electric rates in half. And that's how we improve the business climate. Don't give tax cuts at the after the profits are made and cut their profits, cut the cost of doing business. Cut electric rates in half. Take health care off the business budget by having a single-payer system for the state. And lower the property taxes by restoring the progressive taxes we had in the 1970s and the revenue sharing we had then. Local governments would get 8 times the amount they're getting now. They could lower their property taxes and still pay for their schools and services. So I think that's the way we get the economy moving in the right direction.
Our next question comes from Karen DeWitt of New York State Public Radio, and it's for Mr. Astorino.
Mr. Astorino, my question is on hydrofracking. What will happen with fracking in the next 4 years if you're elected? And there's an ongoing health study. Would you continue it in a publicly transparent manner?
Mr. Astorino, 60 seconds.
Yep, I won't be politically paralyzed like this governor is. 35 states have natural gas, 34 are safely drilling. And their economies are booming. Let's look at what's going on in Pennsylvania, Ohio, North Dakota. We can do that here in New York. President Obama supports it. The EPA has said it's safe. So too does the Energy Department and the Interior Department. Senator Schumer and Gillibrand support it, as do many other Democrats. So yes, we need to move forward with this. The state Democratic Party chairman of the past once said 200,000 jobs could be created by hydrofracking. The DEC says 50,000 jobs. Whatever it is, for the 641,000 New Yorkers who are still unemployed right now, getting by on a second job, those are the jobs that he pretends to have created, then we need good jobs. This will lower our energy costs, bring back manufacturing. It'll be great for our taxes because we'll get a lot of revenue where we can actually cut taxes and put it back into education. And it's exactly what we need to get people back to work. So, yes, we would move forward in the first 90 days of my administration, but make sure we protect the environment and the public health.
Mr. Cuomo, 1 minute response.
Mr. Hawkins symbolically is on my left today, and he believes that fracking is very, very dangerous. Mr. Astorino is on my right today, and he believes that fracking is safe tonight. I say, I'm not a scientist, let the scientists decide. It's very complicated, it's very controversial, people have very different opinions, academic studies come out all different ways. Let the experts decide. And I've asked the expert commission, Department of Health, Department of Environmental Conservation, give me a report, it's due at the end of this year. Whatever the experts say is right, that's what I will do, because frankly, it's too complicated for a layman. As far as Mr. Astorino's position, when he goes upstate, he's Sarah Palin, drill, baby, drill. When he goes home to Westchester, he's Mark Ruffalo. He passed a law that says fracking water cannot be, fracking wastewater cannot be treated in his facilities or used on his roads. So it's safe upstate, just not in Westchester County for his family.
Mr. Hawkins, 60 seconds.
Well, my position is we should ban fracking because it's a danger to the climate. You burn gas and it heats up the planet because of the carbon and methane releases. And it does pollute the water and the land. We already know that from what we've seen in Pennsylvania and around the country. 5% of fracking wells fail as soon as they're drilled, 50% within 15 years, according to a study of 41,000 wells drilled in southwest Pennsylvania recently. Mr. Cuomo says he's waiting for the science, but when some science came back from the U.S. Geological Survey, his administration wanted to change the results. They edited or were suggesting edits and delays. So what is it? And then the study that you referred to is based on obsolete science. The draft state SGEIS, as they call it, State Supplemental Generic Environmental Impact Statement, is 6 years old, and it's based on an underlying environmental impact statement that's 22 years old. You know, this is like a farce, and Governor Cuomo should take a position before the election so people know where he stands. I will ban fracking.
Mr. McDermott, a one-minute response.
Very interesting question. I could tell you that listening to these guys, I don't know what the truth is. Is it safe? Is it not safe? The truth is we have to be sure it's safe. I'm not willing to take a risk to our groundwater and our environment because it might be safe. We have to know if it's going to be safe. And I understand the need for jobs and to bring in money and all that, but I think that Governor Cuomo, looking at waiting for a report, I don't know, is it a cop-out? Isn't it a cop-out? It's hard for me to decide. But I can tell you that as far as my stand on fracking, I am against it until we can prove that it's safe, when it's not worth the risk. And there are other alternatives. You want to create jobs? There's something called industrial hemp. I don't know if you know what this is, or if you don't, please Google it and look it up, because industrial hemp can't be smoked, but it can create jobs. It's got four crops a year. It doesn't have, the bugs don't like it, so it doesn't need pesticides. The cotton industry doesn't like it because you can have cheaper and better clothing. We can create a huge economy and jobs just by considering that option, and nobody talks about it. The libertarian viewpoint is that you can do what you want with your own land unless it affects somebody else. And also, it can't affect somebody else.
Thank you. Also on the panel tonight is Juan Gonzalez of the New York Daily News. His first question is for Mr. Cuomo.
Good evening. Mr. Cuomo, in 2013, you appointed a special panel, the Moreland Commission, to root out corruption in Albany. But you suddenly abolished your own panel less than a year ago, and press accounts say your aides pressured its members to squash certain investigations. Manhattan U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara is now probing what happened. How do you respond to those who call this the darkest stain of your first term? And can you assure us tonight that your office never sought to interfere with the Moreland Commission or any attorney general investigations prompted by it, or even the current federal probe?
Mr. Cuomo, you have 1 minute.
Yes, I can. And I thank you for bringing it up because there's been a lot of misinformation, and this is an opportunity to clear it up. Two basic points. Number one, we appointed a commission, and I said to the chairman of the commission, who happens to be the preeminent district attorney in the state of New York, in my opinion, happens to be a Republican, Chairman Fitzpatrick, you make all the decisions. Yes, people gave him advice. He had public hearings. My staff talked to him. Everyone's staff talked to him. But he has repeatedly said he made all the decisions independently. He's been saying that for months in numerous mediums. Second, there was no abrupt stopping. I wanted the commission to get a law passed. That's why I impaneled it. I said to the legislature, when you pass the law, the commission will go away. They passed the law. The law has an independent enforcement agent, redefined bribery, was applauded by all the DAs, and that's what we needed, was a new law so the DAs could actually prosecute. And that's what we produced.
Mr. Hawkins, you have 1 minute.
When I'm governor, I would re-impanel the Moreland Commission on Public Corruption and let it follow through on the investigations it began and complement what the U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara is doing. To deal with the underlying problem of our pay-to-play culture, where you get big campaign contributions and outside income for legislators in order to open the doors for special interests to get tax breaks and favors, I favor a system of full public campaign financing where everybody makes a reasonable number of $5 contributions and gets their petitions done, and then they get an equal grant. And they have to participate in a series of public debates. And you know who's running on 100% clean money and who's still getting the old dirty money. What's been passed in the legislature and what Mr. Cuomo's been advocating is a system of partial public campaign financing where you have a limited amount of public campaign financing that's matching funds and still unlimited private funding. That's just a reform that doesn't reform, puts a little public money on top of the old system that needs to be changed. And then the legislators should be banned from taking outside income. They should work full-time for us as legislators, as public servants.
Mr. McDermott, you have 1 minute.
You know, I've been watching TV. I see all sorts of commercials from one side or the other, the Democrats accusing the Republicans of corruption, the Republicans accusing the Democrats of corruption. I tend to think they're probably both right. And I'll tell you, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of listening to it. I don't want to hear about this stuff. If you want to have a Moreland Commission, somebody independent, who do you trust to have the answer? We've got to get people back into the process. New Yorkers have to be part of the process, and New Yorkers have to decide for themselves who's corrupt, who's not corrupt. I know one thing. I'm not corrupt. I just want to represent the people. And we better start doing it, because I'm tired of all this negative ads. And we have so much work to do. As governor, I will make sure that there not only is there no corruption, but it's not the Democrat or Republicans that are where the solutions lie. The solution lies, they are part of the problem. They are the problem. The solution lies in getting the people involved in all of this kind of stuff. And that's my firm belief, that the people have to be empowered to start deciding for themselves who's corrupt and who's not.
Mr. Astorino, you have 60 seconds.
4 years ago, Andrew Cuomo pretended to be the reformer to come in, the white knight that was going to clean up the corruption in Albany. He called it an embarrassment, and he was right. Unfortunately, right now, he is swimming in the cesspool of corruption, so much so that we have a state where only in New York can the Anti-Corruption Commission have already been corrupted. And we have a U.S. attorney, Preparara, who just today said that Albany is a corruption disaster. So you're looking at Andrew Cuomo the rest of tonight. You will see a person who very well may be indicted after this election day comes and goes for witness tampering, obstruction of justice, failure to report crimes. We've seen this before in New York. It has to come to an end. And, Governor, I would ask to you tonight if you would just talk to the people directly, tell them the truth, raise your right hand, swear that neither you nor your staff has been subpoenaed by the U.S. attorney with regard to the Moreland Commission scandal. I think that would set the record straight.
Mr. Gonzalez, I believe you have a follow-up question. For which candidate?
To Mr. Cuomo first, and the others can respond also, about the interview that Preparara did today. He also said in that interview the only way an investigative body can get to the root of a problem is if it's independent. Mr. Cuomo, was the panel that you set up independent, and do you believe it has to be a panel has to be independent to get to the root of the problem?
Each candidate has 30 seconds. Mr. Cuomo.
Yes, and the chairman said that a number of times. As far as what Mr. Astorino said, I mean, it truly is outrageous. The U.S. attorney that he is now quoting said about Mr. Astorino that he's given numerous false and misleading lies. He's been ordered to give a videotaped statement for 7 hours under oath. With a penalty of perjury. When a U.S. attorney says you've done numerous false and misleading statements, that's federal speak for you're lying. He's been charged with racketeering, which is being reviewed by the Manhattan DA, and he won't release his taxes. And I've been
an
AG.
Thank you, Mr. Cuomo.
When someone won't release
Mr. Cuomo,
taxes, there's a reason.
Mr. Hawkins, you have 30 seconds.
Well, I would just observe that Mr. Cuomo has said at times this Moreland panel was independent, and at other times it was a panel he created and he could shut it down. There's been an inconsistency there. And you have to wonder why he shut it down when he had said originally it was independent. And, you know, I hope the U.S. attorney is following through in his investigation.
Mr. McDermott, 30 seconds.
I feel like I just want to say I rest my case. I mean, here we go again. I mean, you know, one, who knows what the answer is? I'd like to believe that our government officials are not corrupt and that they really want to represent the people. I didn't hear the interview today because I was speeding along the highway from Albany to Buffalo to try to make this debate on time because I did not want to be late. I turned out to be the first one here. Independent? Absolutely. But who decides who the independent panel is? We have to get the people back into power. Let the people come in. I want to represent the people. The Libertarian platform is about people. It's about the Constitution. It's about doing what's right and what's fair.
Mr. Astorino, 30 seconds.
You know, a Democratic consultant for Andrew Cuomo once said that he would say anything and do anything, including lie, to get elected. You're hearing it tonight. You've seen it on TV with $21 million of completely negative and false ads. So there's only one person here that has a criminal defense team. It's not me. It's Andrew Cuomo. Now, why do you need a criminal defense team if you did nothing wrong? So once again, would you like to tell the people of New York whether you've been subpoenaed and your staff has been subpoenaed by the U.S. attorney for the Moreland Commission scandal?
We now have a video question submitted by a New York voter.
My name is Andrew Rogers. I'm from East Amherst, New York. My question is, what is your position on Common Core, and do you believe it is effective in educating the young people of New York?
You will each have 30 seconds to respond, and we will start with Mr. Hawkins.
Common Core is a package that includes high-stakes testing and curriculum modules that come from the State Education Department. And I hear from a lot of teachers and students and parents that they feel this curriculum and this whole package is a test and punish regime, not a support and improve regime, that it narrows the curriculum, that it dumps down to filling out bubbles and ignores a whole lot of other things that are about education, inquiry, questioning, collaboration, cooperative projects. I want local parents, teachers, and school boards to make the decisions about curriculum and assessment. They know what their kids need. They're the ones that care most about those kids.
Mr. McDermott, 30 seconds.
Common Core is an abomination for our children. I have a 9-year-old. We go through 3 hours of homework every night. I end up having to do most of it for her because she just doesn't get it. Unfortunately, I don't get it either. I read it. I don't understand it. I don't know. Listen, 8 plus 6 is 14. It's not 8 plus 2 is 10. Take 2 away from 6 to make 4. Take 8 plus 2 is 10. Add 4. Listen, 8 plus 6 is 14. Now, that may be minimizing it. The problem is we have to do a lot better than Common Core, and we can do it.
Mr. Astorino, 30 seconds.
Well, Cuomo's Common Core has been an unmitigated disaster. Everyone admits that. The rollout was terrible. The implementation is terrible. This is the federal government now guiding decisions of our own classrooms here in New York. I would replace Common Core with better standards produced right here in New York by our own educators, our own teachers. Teachers right now are like testing automatrons, and that's not what they got into the field for. So I'm so opposed to Common Core, and I deal with it around the kitchen table with my wife and children too, that I started the Stop Common Core line, because we will get rid of Common Core.
Mr. Cuomo, 30 seconds.
I understand desperate candidates, but there still has to be some credibility. Cuomo's Common Core. I have nothing to do with Common Core. Common Core is established by the Board of Regents, which is established by the legislature. I don't appoint anyone to the Board of Regents. I had absolutely nothing to do with it. The only thing I did do with Common Core was I stopped the grading of Common Core, because I agree with Mr. McDermott. It was chaotic. It's caused anxiety. It's caused stress. There's too much testing, too little learning. I stopped it with a 5-year moratorium before the grades will count. If it's not done then, we'll extend it.
This is Election 14, the race for governor, coming to you live from the WNED WBFO studios. Let's begin a new round of questioning. Bob McCarthy has a question for Mr. Astorino.
Yes, Mr. Astorino, if you are governor, can you assure thruway motorists that there will be no toll hike during your term, especially in light of the huge costs associated with building a new Tappan Zee Bridge?
Well, Mr. Astorino, 1 minute.
Yeah, what I have said is the BNP bank settlements of almost $4 billion should be used directly for infrastructure. Now, the governor here has put together the Tappan Zee Bridge, and he gets credit for that. However, he's got no plan to pay for it. We were supposed to know what the tolls were, which they're absolutely going to double or triple, but he won't say anything until after the election. He has no financing plan. He tried to swipe $500 million from an environmental clean water fund to pay for it. That's how desperate he is. And yet, the tolls are going to go up. We know that because he won't admit it. The Thruway Authority needs work. So does the infrastructure. I have said that the $4 billion should go directly to infrastructure repairs on our crumbling roads. We pay the highest taxes in America, and we've got third world roads in this state. It's unacceptable. So I would develop a plan to make sure that Buffalo and the Thruway and all of New York get some of that money for necessary roads and bridges repairs. And certainly some of it should be applied to the Tappan Zee Bridge so we don't have exorbitant costs and exorbitantly high tolls.
Mr. Cuomo, 1 minute.
I don't think you ever answered your question, Bob. The answer for me is yes. The Tappan Zee Bridge is a great story. It's what Mr. McDermott points out. They talked about replacing the Tappan Zee Bridge for 20 years, all politicians. They were fighting, Democrats and Republicans. They couldn't get it done. We came in. We brought everyone together. We're finally rebuilding the Tappan Zee Bridge after 20 years. Everyone agrees that it had to be done. We came up with a new way to do it. We're saving $1 billion in the construction of the Tappan Zee Bridge. It'll take about another 2 or 3 years to build. We don't have the final cost for the bridge. We're applying for more federal funds. We're looking for state subsidies. And we will figure out the toll when we know the final cost. You can't really figure out the toll until you know the final bill.
but it will be affordable for the commuters. We understand that, and that's the commitment from the state, which is what we do with all the bridges and all the tolls, obviously. And there has to be a balance, and it has to be affordable, and it will.
Mr. Hawkins, a 60-second response?
I can assure you that the tolls won't be raised. We have an infrastructure deficit. It's not just our roads and bridges, but it's also our public transportation. I would have a policy of public transportation first before we get into private roads. We've got an interstate that's got to come down in my home city of Syracuse, and all the discussion from the DOT is about how we get the commuters in and out to the hospital and university and downtown, the middle-class jobs from the suburbs. Nothing about the people in the city, in the neighborhoods where half the people don't have cars, they can't get to the suburbs where their jobs. We need to talk about public transportation and target investment there. One way to more economically finance infrastructure, instead of going to Wall Street and paying these huge finance charges, we could have a state bank like North Dakota does. And then we get the interest and principal back in the public treasury. And we put the state money there, and we operate as a bank, as the state of New York, and we could lower the cost of financing these long-term investments in infrastructure.
Mr. McDermott, 1 minute.
You know, after listening to these guys, I'm not quite sure what the question was. It was about, will you raise the tolls? Is that basically it? Personally, I would not take the, I would not raise the tolls. I also take the Palisades, because I can't go across the Tappan Zee Bridge. It's crowded, it's busy, so I take the Palisades when I come up here. You know what I like about the Palisades in particular? There's a little portion of it that goes into New Jersey, and the gas is 30 cents cheaper. Why is that? The next gas station is 30 cents higher. So anyway, the problem is you can have an independent commission. You can do lots of things to try to make it seem like we can raise money. We've already got a huge, bloated government. We have to reduce taxes. We've got to get the government down to within its constitutional size. As far as raising money, you don't raise the tolls. We can barely, the trucks that travel over these roads can barely afford it. We've got people fleeing New York because they can't afford to travel the roads. Let's get some sense back into this thing. I agree with Governor Cuomo as far as we do have to take care of a lot of these things. But let's do it in a responsible way with the people of New York. And I keep using the word empowerment because I believe that people have to be empowered to make these decisions. These decisions cannot be made by Democrats and Republicans fighting
Thank
over
you.
Who's going to fund what.
Thank you. Karen DeWitt now has a question for Mr. Cuomo.
Mr. Cuomo, you've said in a public radio interview that people with extreme views, such as anti-abortion and anti-gun control, don't belong in New York. Can you oppose abortion or gun control and still be welcome here?
Of course. And that's not what I said, Karen. Or that's not what I meant. I don't know the exact words you're referring to. This is my point. The ultra-conservative philosophy that is being put forth by Mr. Astorino, I think, disrespects women because it takes away a woman's right to choose. I think it disrespects minorities because he's being sued for discrimination by the federal government because minorities can't move into his county. I think it disrespects immigrants by being against the DREAM Act. I think it disrespects gays by being against marriage equality, which is a question of equal rights, and why would we discriminate against gays? And that's not who New Yorkers are. And I don't believe there's political support for a politician who has that position. You want to have your own religious beliefs? God bless you. I respect them. I happen to be Catholic. I have my own beliefs. But I'm not imposing my religious beliefs on the people of the state of New York. They're my personal religious beliefs.
Mr. Hawkins, 1 minute.
I think New York's a place for everybody, and everybody should be represented in the political system. We should switch to a system of proportional representation like most democracies in the world. So if your party gets 10% of the vote or 20% of the vote, you get 10% or 20% of the seats in the legislature. And then you get everybody together and everybody's represented. Because right now we have these one-party districts because of gerrymandering when they're redistricted, and there's no competition. I have 6 Senate seats around Syracuse, the central New York area, where there's no opposition. So I think that's one way to include everybody in the process so people aren't feeling alienated. And as far as the women's equality agenda goes, I'm upset that 9 of the items were held hostage to the 10th. We could have had 2 years ago the 9 items referring to pay equity and anti-discrimination and then focus this election on the 10th item, which is reproductive rights, and really put the pressure on those senators that are not for reproductive rights. And then we need to expand the women's equality agenda to deal with the economic issues affecting working class women, like the minimum wage. Majority of workers or minimum wage workers are women.
Thank you very much. Mr. McDermott, 1 minute.
Listen, I don't know Governor Cuomo personally. I know that if that was said, he didn't mean that. That's a ridiculous thing. To seize on something like that, you know he didn't mean it. And as a practicing Catholic, you know what his stance is personally on abortion and women's rights. But here's the choice. The Libertarian platform really does work in a situation like this. I personally am opposed to abortion, of course. I believe every human life is sacred. If I could adopt all those children, I would. But who am I to propose that I have a right or the government has a right to insist what a woman should be able to do with her own body? The Libertarian platform is one of individual freedom. You should decide what you should do, what you need to do. It's not for me to tell you. The Women's Equality Party, that has nothing to do with women's equality. It has to do with another vote for Andrew Cuomo. You know, and same thing with Stop Common Core. It's got nothing to do with stopping Common Core. It's another vote for Rob Astorino. So we've got to get away from these tricks and these different... Let's just say what it is. And I think what it is that women are equal. They should have their own choice. They should decide what they want for their own bodies. And the government does not have a right to decide
for them. Mr. Astorino, you have 1 minute.
Well, shame on Governor Cuomo for playing the race card this entire campaign, including tonight, disrespecting women by supporting Shelley Silver. Shelley Silver, who used $500,000 in state money as a hush money cover-up for sexual assaults in the assembly. And as Attorney General Andrew Cuomo signed off and defended Silver's right to do that, he signed off on the hush money, silencing women. Where were the women's justice there? On abortion, come on. Abortion's not going anywhere in New York. It was made legal way before Roe v. Wade. So abortion is used as the boogeyman so he doesn't have to talk about how bad this state is doing or why he's under federal investigation for corruption. That's why he talks about that kind of stuff. And yes, abortion, I will not expand abortion in the state through 9 months, which is exactly what Andrew Cuomo's bill will do, and allow non-doctors to perform those risky surgeries. So if you want to talk about abortion, let's get the facts out about how radical you really are and out of step with New York, even pro-choicers.
Juan Gonzalez has a question for Mr. Hawkins.
Mr. Hawkins, public school closings and the spread of charter schools have sparked considerable controversy in many urban school districts. Charter school advocates have countered with multi-million dollar ad campaigns and protests for better funding. They want Albany to lift the current statewide cap of 460 charter schools. What's your position, and what do you say to those who regard charters as a vital alternative to failing public schools?
1 minute.
Public schools fail because we're the most segregated state in the United States, and we have concentrated poverty, and all those problems come into the schools, and they're not getting the resources they need. And then they're defined as failed by this high-stakes testing, and then they're turned over to charters, where, like on the Success Academy board in New York City, there are a bunch of hedge fund investors who take advantage of federal tax credits and make money, even though these charters are nominally nonprofit. This is a cannibalization of our public school system. I'm for a full and equitable funding of public schools. We need to get rid of the gap elimination adjustment, which has balanced the state budget on the backs of our school children. We need to go back to the Foundation Aid formula, which is based on a court order to provide every student, like our state constitution says, with a sound basic education. So we need to fully fund our schools. And then charters, I'm not for expanding them. I'm for letting those we got be reviewed. And if they're good, good. But if they're not, they should be shut down.
Mr. McDermott, 1 minute.
I don't agree with that. And I can tell you why. Charter schools, you know what charter schools are? They're publicly funded schools that have no local control. Charlotte Isabey, who's the former U.S. Education Secretary under Ronald Reagan, said, charter schools is the end game. Common Core is the distraction. Now think about that for a minute. We cannot have charter schools expanded. We need to bring schools back to local control, the local people, the local school board. There's no local school board with charter schools. I know that Mr. Astorino has come through with, you know, he wants to stop Common Core and all that, and that might be true. However, he seems to support charter schools, which we'll find out when he speaks next. Charter schools is terrible. It takes away government, it takes away the people's control over the education of their children. And my little girl, Gracie, she's not going to a charter school. And we may be forced to that. I'll homeschool before she goes to a charter school because I want local control. I am the parent. My wife is a parent. I want us to control. our children's education. I want local people to control. I want local school boards and teachers allow them to teach. That doesn't happen with charter schools, and it won't.
Mr. Astorino, 1 minute.
I'm a very big believer in public education. I'm the product of a public education. I was on a school board. My three kids go to public education, and my wife is a special education teacher, so I believe very strongly. It was Governor Cuomo who took away $7.5 billion in school aid to public schools throughout New York State. So, yeah, we want to get that back as best we can so we don't have to have cuts in our schools with our teachers and our priorities get put by the wayside. But I want to go back to the litany of nonsense he just talked about. You know, I'm proud to be county executive in a county of 1 million people in Westchester, 2-to-1 Democrat. It's the fourth most diverse county in New York. And I could only get elected twice by 13-point margins in deep blue Westchester with the help of Democrats, of women, of African Americans, and Latinos. And I won the Latino vote in Westchester County and 25% of the African American vote. And it's the only way I'm going to win this election. So I ask for your support in this election because we can make New York great again. But don't listen to his nonsense. When he throws out the race card, it's because he has no ideas.
Mr. Cuomo, 1 minute.
Yeah, the facts again, as opposed to a rhetoric. Mr. Astorino's tax plan is very simple. Tax cut for the rich, it would decimate public education because it would decimate the budget. As far as his race relations, the federal government is suing one county executive out of 3,000 in the nation for discrimination, and it's Mr. Astorino. They've taken $20 million from him for discriminating in Westchester County because African Americans and Latinos cannot be in the county. It's gone on for 5 years. As far as a woman's right to choose, all my law says is codify Roe v. Wade, which was a court case 40 years ago that gave a woman a right to choose. It doesn't increase it at all. He is against it. He has said that I'm a Catholic and the Catholic Church is against abortion and I won't let it happen. It's ghastly. I understand that. I'm a Roman Catholic too. But you uphold the law. You don't uphold your religion. And I respect a woman's right to choose and I will defend it.
We now have another video question submitted by a voter.
I am Gary Walters from Hamburg, New York. If you are elected the governor of New York, what type of financial assistance will you provide the Buffalo Bills for a new dome stadium?
You will each have 30 seconds to respond, and we will start with Mr. McDermott.
I thought the Miami Dolphins were coming to Buffalo. Am I wrong about that? Listen, the state has a role. The state has a very strong role into making things right. The Buffalo Bills Stadium, I'd like to see it be a brand new, beautiful stadium, and I think private enterprise should be involved. Not the big corporations, because there's very little difference between the big corporations and the government. But let's get people involved that can work on donations and that sort of thing to build the stadium. I think the Buffalo Bills are great. I would like to see them win every Super Bowl, and I'd like to see them have a brand new stadium to support them. But let's face facts. People of the state of New York have to be empowered to make these decisions. We don't need the government to get in the way.
Mr. Astorino, 30 seconds.
I think Ralph Wilson Stadium got enough upgrades with county and state money. So I think the stadium looks good. And I don't think tax money should go for a billionaire, who I'm glad bought the team, by the way, in Terry Pegula. But to answer his last question, the battle with HUD, his old agency, who he's rooting for, by the way, is about the federal government wants to take over zoning in Westchester and every neighborhood around this country and put apartment buildings in any neighborhood. I'm going to fight that tooth and nail. He's rooting for his old agency at HUD.
Mr. Cuomo, 30 seconds.
The federal government is trying to enforce the civil rights laws that say you can't discriminate against people based on color of skin. The law was passed after Martin Luther King's death as a tribute to him. Yes, the federal government enforces civil rights laws, and they say you're discriminating against African Americans and low-income people, and it's a disgrace that it should happen in this state. My opponent is also against the Buffalo Billion, which has been a home run for Buffalo. It's coming back. It's coming back big time. I don't want to talk about any more money for Buffalo. I spent the billion, and let's put the stadium off until we have that.
Mr. Hawkins, you have 30 seconds.
Well, I think the new owner, Terry Pegula, has enough money if he wants a new stadium. He's a smart businessman. He got out of the fracking industry at its peak. If he does need it, however, I think if the state goes in, we ought to have an ownership share. In other words, like any other owner, we ought to get our share of the profits and be able to look at the books. In fact, that might be a better way to make sure the Bills stay here permanently, like the Green Bay Packers have a ownership structure that anchors that team to Little Green Bay. And I'd like to see that up here in upstate New York so our team will never leave.
Thank you. This is Election 14, the race for governor, coming to you live from the WNED WBFO studios. Let's begin a new round of questioning. Bob McCarthy has a question for Mr. Cuomo.
Yes, Mr. Cuomo, if elected to a second term, will you pledge to serve a full four-year term?
1 minute.
If I drop dead of a heart attack, how does that count? Does that violate the pledge? Yes.
Okay, 1 minute. We now go to Mr. Hawkins.
If elected, I'll serve a full term, you know, providing I'm alive and kicking.
Mr. McDermott, 1 minute, if you need it.
I do, because it's a good question, but I want to go to another question. And yes, of course I'm going to stay for 4 years. Are you kidding? My daughter's already planning on moving into the governor's mansion. I mean, she's nine, but, you know, I say, okay, honey. I want to talk about this race card that they keep talking about. The only race card that counts is the red and the blue. That's it. I don't look at people as black, white, Chinese, Latino, and all the other races that there are. We're just one people. We're New Yorkers. New Yorkers have to be empowered to come back. It's the blue and the red that's the problem. The blue and the red is not the answer. That's the problem. And that's what we have to take care of. We have to come back and start getting people back involved. Anytime you come up with something, somebody said this, somebody said that about the races, it's red and blue, folks. That's why I ask you, no, stop thinking like that. Start thinking about like New Yorkers and work on New York problems. Work on what is best for New York. Whether we build a new stadium, no matter what we do, whether we have women's empowerment or Stop Common Core, we're New Yorkers. We have the right to do what we have to do, and we better get back to having the power and to be empowered to do that.
Mr. Astorino, 60 seconds.
Yes, I will. Let's go back to the racist stuff that he's throwing out, which is just despicable. You know, I am proud to have been endorsed by the president of the United Black Clergy of Westchester, the chairman of the National Action Network, who led Democrats for Astorino last year in my reelection, by many Latino leaders and black leaders throughout Westchester County. I would never have gotten that endorsement or their support if we were racist. In fact, this lawsuit that he's referring to was by the Democratic administration before I got there. In fact, his chief of staff now was the deputy county executive then, who called it a garbage lawsuit, and he was right. This is all about the federal government overreaching, coming into Westchester, and they're coming into your community next. And they're using this guise, and they're trying to go after zoning and equating it with racism and segregation with offering no proof whatsoever. So I will defend my community and every community in New York from federal government trying to put apartment buildings in any neighborhood that they choose. He says that the town he lives in, which is where the Clintons live, is racist and segregated and discriminatory.
Thank you
very I don't think
much.
That's right. I think it's just expensive.
Thank you. Thank you. Karen DeWitt has a question for Mr. Hawkins.
Mr. Hawkins, and I hope we can stick to the topic of this question. New York is in the process of setting up a limited medical marijuana program. How long do you think it will be before marijuana is completely legal in New York, and should it be?
60 seconds.
Well, if I'm elected governor, I will push very hard for the legalization, regulation, and taxation of marijuana like Washington State and Colorado are now doing. We have an enormous problem of tens of thousands of people going to prison for nonviolent offenses for holding and using marijuana. And it's irrational. It's destroyed communities, families, and individuals' opportunities in life. It's been particularly targeted at black and Latino communities so that while blacks, whites, and Latinos use drugs at the same levels, 94% of our prisoners in the state penitentiaries are black or Latino for drug offenses. I would provide clemency for nonviolent drug offenders after marijuana was legalized or even before, as well as those who've gone through the system so they wouldn't be branded when they go for housing, jobs, and education. This has been, and I also call for a Truth, Justice, and Reconciliation Commission to examine the damages and then make recommendations for how we can put these communities and families back together.
Mr. McDermott, you have 60 seconds.
I think I can stay on this topic. The marijuana, the repeal of prohibition of marijuana has been a libertarian platform for the last 42 years that we've been in existence in New York. Mr. Hawkins is absolutely right. Our jails are overfilled. The war on drugs is a dismal failure. Marijuana, if you want to go home and smoke a joint, that's your right. I don't care. I don't smoke it because it makes me choke, just like cigarettes do. But you have a right to put what you want into your own body. And I agree that we have to not only we have to it's not a matter of legalization of marijuana. It's about nullifying and repealing all prohibition concerning marijuana. Marijuana is not the problem. The problem is the war on drugs, where we have jails filled with kids that were arrested and have the stigma. What do those kids come out? They can't get a job because they're now felons because they smoked marijuana or had a certain amount on it. Now, I'm not talking about children, of course. I'm talking about adults. Adults have a right to do what they want to do with their bodies. They should be able to do it with their bodies.
Mr. Astorino.
I do support medical marijuana in limited circumstances. I think it's compassionate to do. I don't want the widespread recreational use of marijuana throughout the state, though, and I don't want a dispensary on every street corner. I want to go back to what he was talking about taxes before, because I think he's become so tone deaf to what the average New Yorker is dealing with right now. Because I've traveled all 62 counties. I've talked to a lot of people, and they're hurting. People are looking for jobs. People are looking for a way out of New York. And that shouldn't be. But under Governor Cuomo, taxes keep going up and up and up. He referred to Westchester County. What he didn't tell you is in my 5 years, I cut county taxes more than any county in New York State. My budget is smaller today than when I walked in the door, $1.8 billion to $1.7 billion. He can't say that in either one. And you know what? He should be thanking me. I'm his county executive. His county taxes went down. The other taxes went up. Because you failed on your number one issue back in this debate in 2010, the unfunded mandates. So for all intents and purposes, when your taxes go up, it's because of a state property tax now under Andrew Cuomo.
Mr. Cuomo, 60 seconds.
I support medical marijuana. I don't support legalizing marijuana. As far as the important items we were discussing, discrimination is the purview of the federal government. The Civil War was fought. It has authority over the states. You are one of 3,000 county executives, the only one being sued. Only one. Only you. $20 million fined. And as far as taxes are concerned, the taxes didn't go down in Westchester County. You are the highest tax county in the state, highest tax county in the United States of America. Taxes went up 8% for a Westchester homeowner. Now, you'll say, well, that was the towns and the villages, blah, blah, blah. It's a shell game. Property taxes are killing this state. I reduce the state taxes, income taxes, corporate taxes. The property taxes are killing the state. 400 governments in Westchester, a county executive should have called them together and said, guys, we have to find ways to save money because we're killing the taxpayer.
The candidates will now deliver closing statements. Each candidate will have 1 minute, and we will begin with Mr. Cuomo.
Thank you very much. There is no doubt that this state has suffered for many, many decades, especially in upstate New York. We saw young people leaving. We saw jobs leaving. And frankly, upstate New York was abandoned by Albany. There's a downstate mentality that took over, and everybody focused on downstate. And upstate New York, frankly, didn't get the attention they deserved. We have reversed that. That's what the Buffalo Billion is all about. That's why when my opponent says he'll stop it, over my dead body. That would be saying drop dead to Buffalo. Upstate New York is coming back. Our taxes are at historic lows. Our jobs are at historic highs, 7.6 million jobs, more than ever before in history. And we respect people's rights. We have Democrats and Republicans working together again in Albany. We passed four budgets on time in a row. Hadn't happened in 40 years. There is more work to do to be certain, but the arrows are pointed in the right direction. I want to keep doing it. I want to keep this state moving forward. I want to keep upstate moving forward together.
Mr. McDermott, you have 1 minute for your closing statement.
When we started this in my opening remarks, I asked you to please listen as New Yorkers. Now I want to speak to you as a libertarian. The Democrats and Republicans are the problem. You want to stop Common Core? Vote libertarian this one time. Vote libertarian this one time. You want to make a difference for New York? Don't think that you can't vote. You have to vote for a Democrat or Republican. Just vote for libertarians one time. Vote for Michael McDermott. You want to stop the SAFE Act? Repeal it? You want to prevent SAFE Act 2, as they're all talking about? Vote libertarian. You want to not have charter schools taking over our children? You want local control over children? Vote libertarian this one time. I'm asking you to don't think of what you've done and continue to do what you've done every other time. every other election. This time, vote Libertarian. What do you have to lose in 4 years? If we don't do what we say we're going to do, you can always vote for a Democrat or Republican. They'll still be around. But vote Libertarian this one time. This is what I'm asking everybody in this room and everybody out there in the audience. Vote Libertarian this one time, and let's make a difference.
Mr. Astorino, you have 1 minute for your closing statement.
I'm running for governor, and I'm ready to be your governor to turn this state around, to really turn it around, to make it great again, so our families, like mine and yours, can actually live in this state and not think about leaving or actually leave. Do you really feel your taxes have gone down under Andrew Cuomo? They haven't. Taxes keep going up everywhere, despite the fact that in Westchester, we actually cut property taxes, but taxes still went up because Andrew Cuomo failed to do what he said he was going to do and get rid of these mandates from Albany. We can be a great state again. And please check out my plan on robastorino.com. Donate money. Come to the cause. We can do this in the next 12 days and turn this state around for my family and yours. Y a la comunidad hispana, yo quisiera su apoyo y ayuda. Visite mi sitio web, robastorino.com, because together we can make this state great again.
Mr. Hawkins, you have 1 minute for your closing statement.
Well, I wish this was the first of several debates. I think they had seven for the governor's race in the state of Connecticut because we barely touched on the issues. I'm polling at 9%. That's a record for an independent progressive third-party candidate in New York history on a statewide election. But we can go much higher. I'm the only candidate on the ballot for governor who wants full employment. We got a plan for it. Who wants a minimum wage that's a living wage of $15 an hour? That's for single-payer health care. Got a plan for full and equitable funding of our public schools, for full public campaign financing, for a progressive tax reform policy that would give tax cuts to 95% of us while raising 20% more revenues we could share with the localities and then really cut our property taxes. Who wants to ban fracking and build out a 100% clean energy system over the next 15 years that would create 4.5 million jobs and cut our electric rates in half? These Green New Deal policies, I think, are policies that the majority of working class and middle class people support. If we get out to vote and vote for what we want, we can win this election. Vote Green.
Well, this will bring our debate to a close. Thank you to our panelists and to the League of Women Voters of Buffalo Niagara for helping tonight's program. We also thank the candidates, Rob Astorino, Andrew Cuomo, Holly Hawkins, and Michael McDermott. Please hold your applause for just a moment. We also thank you for watching and listening. Now it's time to make your voice heard. Please remember to vote on Election Day, Tuesday, November 4th. I'm Brian Meyer. Good evening.
Support for Election 14, the race for governor, comes from Verizon.
With Verizon's technology and networks, we provide answers and communication solutions that will help create a better tomorrow for our communities. We are proud to support this broadcast of the 2014 gubernatorial debate.